Did you notice the line in the poem about the elephants? That's my favorite one. It's a little bit tricky, though, because our poet has imagined us as a line of lumbering beasts. Are you okay with that? And as elephants parade, holding each elephant's tail, but if one wanders, the circus won't find the park. He's also seen us as a circus. Pretty much, right, right. So there's one of those elephant videos circling out there on YouTube. It's a real tearjerker. Not the one where the elephants pick up the paintbrushes and draw trees. Have you seen that one? They have a special charm in that video. They show us that intelligence is not solely the provenance of the bipedal animals. But I'm thinking of a different elephant video, one that shows a different kind of intelligence, an emotional intelligence. The smallest of the pack, the baby elephant, has fallen over the side of a somewhat shallow, but for that baby elephant, a very deep ravine into a lake. And the baby elephant is just down there because he was trying to get some water, or she, I don't really know, he, the elephant. And the elephant can't get back up the edge. And so the elephant keeps stumbling forward and stumbling back, and you can tell that the pack is ready to keep moving. They're mulling around, but they don't leave that baby elephant. And one tries to reach down and pull him up with the trunk and reach down again, and the baby elephant keeps stumbling back. And then another elephant tries to push from behind, and that doesn't work, and the elephant stumbles back. And then finally, a few elephants gather around in such a way that they're able to pull that baby elephant out from the edge so that the elephant can join them, and they go down the road. Elephants never forget. Neither do they leave a brother behind, to quote the military adage. Who do we think we are? Let it be a pack of elephants. Let it be. Always at the ready to lift a fallen sister or brother from demise. That would be a testament to a great purpose and a powerful cause. If one wanders, says our poet, the circus may not find the park. Intern John and I had a truly beautiful time meeting with many of you and discussing the value you find in service and community, the value you find in our particular tromp to the park. The end result was our draft mission, covenant, and vision, but honestly, the process offered far richer gifts. We talked first to our leaders, the leaders that on busy weekends like this one spend more time here than at home. One wrote me earlier, who may be here among us. When I asked her to do one more thing, she said, "Can I sleep there too?" Smiley face. Anybody sleep here last night? So from where does this commitment come? From where does this kind of commitment come? I have a guess. I believe the leaders are those who at one time fell beyond the bank. Perhaps they were mourning the death of their husband or shouldering the ache of their childhood faith's demise. Or maybe they were burdened by the world's rejection of them for not being happy enough or straight enough or rich enough or white enough, and the list goes on. The commitment is made to this place when this place made a commitment to them. When it showed them that it would be there when others could not, that it would jump down the bank with them and would not stop until it hauled them out. Who do we think we are? First of all, we are we. And we are nothing without that we. In our conversations, numerous leaders remarked, "I gain courage here. I am loved, and so I have the strength to love. You believe in me, so I believe in myself. And therefore, I believe in we. I believe in us." Who do we think we are? We are we. But what are we about? If you don't know the kind of person I am, and I don't know the kind of person you are, a pattern that others made may prevail in the world, and following the wrong God home, we may miss our star. Our world is replete with wrong gods. I follow two or three almost every day. There is this God of busyness. Do you know her? Her left hand is a smartphone, and her right hand is a to-do list. Her eyes are wide open, scanning her surroundings for anything out of place. Her feet are adjusted such that they can never be on the ground at the same time. Maybe she's running Barbie. But she was also the original punk rocker, with hair standing on end. No gel needed, only another cup of coffee. When she breathes in, you hear the sound, multi. And when she breathes out, tasking. Multi-tasking. Multitasking ad nausea. I follow her. You follow her too, right? I follow her, convincing myself that she is taking me home, taking me where I need to go. But really, she's just a facade, a covering for my loneliness, for our loneliness, and our fear of insignificance. There's also the God of consuming. I follow him some days, and I don't mean donuts. Donuts are good. Do you know him? His right hand reaches out in front of him empty, and his left hand reaches out behind, overloaded with plastic shopping bags, dripping with recent purchases. But his head doesn't turn, so he's stuck in one direction, so he can never see what's in his left hand. His legs are thin, they are rail thin, so that he can barely stand, but he has to keep moving them to keep up with his want of his empty right hand. When he breathes in, you hear the sound, I, and when he breathes out, want, I want, ad nausea, but for all the crinkling of those bags in his left hand, he hears, I need. I follow him. You do too, right? I follow him, convincing myself that he is taking me home, where I need to go, but he is really a facade, a covering for my existential ache, for our existential ache, for the sadness and hunger that comes from simply being alive. Amen. There are more gods than these. Some are made of fire. Some, in our righteous fight for justice, we mistake for holy, but they only burn inside us as rage. Some parade as truth, juggling whole worlds in their hands. Sometimes, in our search for certainty, we mistake these clowns for holy. But when we grasp them in vain glory, they turn to ash in our hands. And following the wrong God home, we may miss our star. Who do we think we are? When we gathered in our mission vision conversations, you said, "Here I find purpose. I make meaning in my life and the life of others. We commit to something larger than ourselves. I find God," some said. We are not very different than other people that have gathered in centuries past, in clusters of humanity, in cathedrals, in synagogues, in Athena's temple, in gurdwaras, in meditation rooms, chanting Om or shouting Hallelujah. What makes us kin to these others is far more compelling than what makes us alien. And we spend so much time with the difference. Sometimes I think a wrong God leads me down that path when I'm talking about how different we are. So let's consider the kinship. To be human, it is to search, to be like Goldilocks and the Three Bears, testing the rooms of this house, this life, to see which will feel like home. To be a person connected to a faith community means that we have paused here. We've paused here in this room, and believe me, that is necessary. That pause is so necessary because it is so easy to just keep moving on. But we paused, and we paused long enough to say, ah, this one is just right. It's not perfect, right? Right, says our board president. It's not perfect and it's not finished, but neither are we. I think that we humans who try out faith communities are looking for a mirror. We're looking for a mirror that if we peer into it long enough, we will see two things. First, we'll see ourselves more clearly. And second, we will see that we are surrounded by others that ache and that yearn just like we do for that star, by whatever name we call it. You said in our conversations, I'm looking for community, for connection, for a place where I don't feel alone. I want to do something meaningful, you said. I want to change the world. We are looking for a place that we can move within and test the boundaries of our existence, a playground, per se, a sandpit that we are empowered to transform. I remember when I was searching for a job, when I was searching for that job that would give my life meaning, and I didn't know that it was this yet. And my father and I were walking and talking, one of those long walks that we would take on the beach, and he said something that sunk in, that finally made sense, and I carry it with me. He said, "It's not the job, really. It's not the job. It's the place. Find a place. Find a place," he said, "full of people, an environment that you can move within that will hold you and allow you to hold some of it." He didn't say this next part. This is minister jargon. But I offer, find a place where you can hold and shape your purpose. Your purpose. This is my place, this Unitarian Universalist faith. Perhaps this is one of your places as well. Your sand pit, waiting to be shaped as it shapes you. Who do we think we are? We are a people brazen enough to believe that if we work together, we may just shake off some of those wrong gods and find our star. Not in some distant universe even, but right here and beyond these walls. Lest the parade of our mutual life get lost in the dark, says our poet. Later today, we will host an ordination of our past intern, Andrew McKay Mertz. Nearly 9 years ago, can you believe it? Nearly 9 years ago, this congregation hosted my ordination. I really was asking for a clap line there, wasn't I? During the ceremony, there's a ritual, and you might remember it from that ordination, called a laying on of hands. The ordinand stands in the center of the dais, and a visiting minister offers a prayer, and everyone gathered there is invited to come forward and lay on a hand, and you end up laying on a hand in front of the person in front of you until the entire room is fully connected. There are many parts of the ceremony of an ordination, but it is with this ritual that I believe ministers are finally and resolutely made. If you come to the ordination this evening, and I hope you will, perhaps when you hear the full name spoken for the first time, Reverend Andrew McKay Mertz, when he gets that reverend, perhaps your chest will feel heavy with warmth. And your hands will remember the way that they laid a blessing on him. And you will say and know, we did that. We did that. in this congregation and in all the sand pits that Andrew shaped, we did that because we did. Who do we think we are? We are a people in a place that makes ministers out of every one of us who dares pause long enough here to call this place home. Because professional ministers, they're only some of the ministers that we make. I've seen you doing ministry. I've seen you doing ministry. I've seen you, Denise, doing ministry. When you create beautiful things like our Wonder Box that we use here, and when you gather people together to learn artwork. Paul, I've seen you doing ministry. When you lead us in our board meetings and come forward behind the congregation and say those difficult things that nobody wants to hear. Like, we need more money. Doreen, I've seen you doing ministry. When you create a table where we can come forward and receive and be fed and be held by your love. John Kim, I've seen you doing ministry. When you lead our choir in beautiful music, and when you hold us all with the gift of your musical vision with the piano, you just find the note that needs to be played in a given moment to fill the room with the song that needs to be heard. Claris, I've seen you do ministry in millions of ways. By the way that you hold others and allow others to hold you, by the way you speak with your heart, even when the words of your mouth are held inside. Andrew, I've seen you doing ministry. I see you do ministry like you did this morning. You saw something brilliant in that cloth out there, and you turned to me and said, "Have you seen this? I know what this cloth is doing. I know what it's telling us about the world." So you took a moment to teach me something that I needed to learn. Absolutely. And you just did ministry there by reminding us of the justice work that needs to be done. I could do that with each and every single one of you here in this room, because even these foreigners from Akatink, I know you as well. The folks who are visitors, who for the first time walk through our doors, you're doing ministry as well, because you're giving us a chance to remember what it means to be a congregation, that we are here to have doors that are wide open, because without that, we are nothing. So who do we think we are? First of all, we are we. And second, we are exhausted by following the wrong gods. The darkness around us, says our poet, is deep. But deeper still is the purpose that we find here by living with intention, with one another, shaping and being shaped. Alleluia and amen.